And my next guest doesn't need a lot of introducing. He's a 5-time Gold Logie award-winning TV journalist and entertainment personality. His name is Ray Martin, and you'll either know him as a founding reporter of 60 Minutes, host of Ray Martin at Midday, or more recently, host of Look Me in the Eye on SBS. I caught up with him last week to see what he had to say about a few things happening right now across the country. I've split our interview into 6 segments. It did go for 25 minutes. Ray can talk, which is great. But right now, I'm going to play the first, where we discuss the ever-changing Australia media landscape. So I read that you started working for the ABC as a cadet journalist in 1965. Tell me a bit about the technology you had access to at that time.
The technology when I started was primitive, to say the least. When I was sent to New York for the ABC, for example, in 1969, you had to book a satellite to do a television news story for Australia 24 hours beforehand. You couldn't just instantly break into a satellite if there was a sudden news story. Even radio was such that you had to book an hour beforehand. So to get a radio line back to Sydney, quite often, if we were we had lines booked in the morning, and if we had stayed out too late working the night before, myself and my colleague there, we would pull the plug on the line and blame the American telephone system, and it would take an hour to get a line back to Sydney, and then we'd had time to sort of finish what we hadn't finished. That's, you know, true confessions, but that's what it was like. I mean, if we went on 60 Minutes days, and we're talking about the 1980s here, early 80s, we had pretty much control of any story we went to. You couldn't go to your iPhone and file a story on the video section of your iPhone. You couldn't suddenly get get a Skype in there. You had to actually book satellites, or you had to just wait until you came out. So what's happened has been a revolution times 10. It's like, you know, it's like the media on steroids is the difference now between what it was like when I first started and what it's like now.
You must have found it very different then, you know, recently when you've done shows. In 2014, you presented First Contact on SBS, and so a lot of things would have been different then.
Yeah, no, it's different every month, it seems, let alone every year. There was a time when journalists were able to travel around the world, and because of the difficulty of getting satellites and even the difficulty of phone calls, you would have to wait for some hours before you could contact the base, and therefore you had a chance to smell the roses, if you like, or smell the location you were at and talk to a few people and get some sense of what was happening. I think the difference now is that journalists are expected to land in a godforsaken spot or a news hotspot and suddenly, you know, be all-knowing and all-wise. And I think that's one of the dangers that we have now, that obviously if you've done your homework before you get somewhere, it can help. But it's also very different on the ground than it is from the books you've read or the magazines you've read. So you do need some time to get and understand and just gauge the pace of a place, or gauge what's happening and the balance of power and things like that. So that's the danger when you want instant news and journalists are expected to cover it for, let's say, for a newspaper and for a magazine and for a television all at one time. Often they're doing it without true knowledge of what it's about, so opinions tend to be made on the run.
And speaking of social media, I've noticed that you're not big on social media, on Twitter and on Facebook, which is fair enough, but do you believe people need to have a presence on social media these days as opposed to when you first started out to be successful, to be well known?
Yeah, no question about it. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, but my Facebook I just keep for friends and family. I'm not public out there. And as far as the Twitter's concerned, I'm a little more public, but I tend to find I forget to do it when I should. And even though I do it occasionally, I do it quite often. But especially if I've got something a book or something or a program to flog, then that's the perfect way to do it. And the extraordinary thing about social media is I'm a true believer in it. But sometimes you can get more hits on social media for a television program than you get on air. And that's extraordinary. So the power of, it's starting to sort itself out slowly, but I think there's been a turmoil as a result of social media. And people have obviously turned to Netflix and Stan and so on demand and binging programs, you know, beats a scheduled program that you have to wait for. And the end result is that affects ratings. So people, you know, such as I do it myself, but by certainly my children, and others, I'm sure you do, just turn to Netflix and Stan, and they don't wait for programs the way we have to. So often the ratings, which is what programs live and die on, are irrelevant because, you know, people are watching, as I say, they may be binging on an ABC program without waiting for next week's edition. And so things like that are just very different. I think that it's turmoil as a result of social media and the online coverage, but you have no choice. You really just have to go with the flow.
Yeah, and I'm also personally a big believer in local content and Australian content, which is there, but how important do you think it is that Australians see Australians every day on the screen, they hear them on the radio, and they're just not always watching American and overseas sort of products?
It's critical. I mean, obviously the global village has become smaller, and so it is easier to, you know, for example, if you have an interview with someone who was famous when I was doing daily programs back in the 70s and 80s and 90s even, then you had them exclusively. But if you know, if you've got someone who's come to town who happens to be a film star or a rock star, today the fans can go online and watch 50 interviews with them, or if they're big enough, or certainly 10 interviews with them, and in that sense you can, if you like, you can get what you want without having to wait for that exclusive, so-called exclusive, that's on Channel 9 or Channel 7 this week. I think that's the danger, because the idea of exclusives have pretty much gone. Although newspapers and television shows trumpet the fact that something is exclusive, but it really isn't so often. You know, if you want to see what Paul McCartney's like in an interview, you don't have to wait for the exclusive interview. Just go online and watch 50.